The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. This is hour two, technically, but who cares? It's just the continuation of my conversation with Chris Reed, who's been chosen as the to succeed Rick Joyner at Morningstar Ministries. Let me ask you, Chris, for folks that don't know anything about Morningstar, what is Morningstar Ministries?
Morningstar Ministries was founded by Rick Joyner and his wife, Julie, back in the early 80s. And it started off as a publication. And then over time, Rick began to write some books. You know, The Final Quest was probably his most popular, Two Trees in the Garden. Final Quest was like one of the top sellers in the modern era. And it was prophetic. It was all a compiled set of dreams that is just a fantastic, incredible picture of, in fact, the times that we are living in right now. And so they ultimately assumed this property here in Fort Mill, South Carolina, that was built back in the 80s by Jim Baker. And of course, Morningstar and Rick Joyner purchased the property here back, I believe it was in 2004. And Morningstar's been on the cusp. I mean, they've been one of the leading prophetic voices in the broader charismatic movement. And Rick is really a man of integrity. He is without a doubt to me a prophet. And he is an incredible author. I'm actually here now. This fall, I'm going to be doing a School of the Prophets. And so, of course, we have a Bible college here, a K-12, just a lot of awesome things going on here. And it's just a great place to be. People have moved here from all over the nation in different parts of the world because they believe God is speaking from this place. And I'm honored just to be a part.
Well, I'm thrilled you're there. And I guess I want to so much I want to ask you, when we were in Kansas City, Mike Bickle gave a sermon, a teaching about the end times. And do you have a sense, or does Rick have a sense, of where we're going to be in the next 10 or 20 years? What does he say, or what do you know that he says and that he's shared?
So Rick has, I mean, this is well documented. Rick has been prophesying for a number of years that we are going to have another civil war here in America. And he's had various dreams at different times, but it's documented in history, you know, 20, 30 years, he's been saying this was coming. And the Lord began to show him back in the 80s that America would have a liberal president. And then, you know, of course, Clinton came in office, he thought for sure that was him. Obama come in office, he thought for sure that was him. But then, you know, Biden and Harris are sitting in the Oval Office, and basically in the dream, something would happen that would cause America to realize just how terrible Marxism is, and that we would swing back to the right, never to go back to the left again. Yeah. And so he believes right now we are on the precipice of, perhaps it's already begun, a civil war in this nation, because our government, it's beyond fixing itself.
Well, it seems to me that we're in a war. In other words, and it's a strange thing, I almost never say this, but when I was about 16, I had a kind of a knowing, it feels like a knowing from God in retrospect, about this. about a civil war, but that it would not be along geographical lines like the way that the Civil War was, but that it would be almost like the way cancer is, that every cell is at war with every other cell, which is kind of what I see happening now. But we do seem to be at an impasse in the country. And but it sounds like what Rick was saying is that it will come out well. I just don't know how bad it will get before it comes out well.
Well, things will get worse before they get better. And it is a cultural civil war. Are we going to stay as the traditional America that we have been? You know, Judeo-Christian values, capitalism, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, that type of thing. Or are we going to head more in a Marxist direction? And I think that is coming and has come to a head. And I think that the 2020 election and all the fallout from that has really shown just how desperate and how close we are. We're already in it. And I definitely think that there is going to be, I don't want violence. I don't desire violence. But I think that we're going to see a actual civil war. I don't know exactly what it will look like, but I know it's going to be a culture war. And Bob Jones, another prophetic voice, prophesied that the next revolutionary slash civil war would happen when they came for the guns, when they attacked the Second Amendment, that would trigger the Civil War into a whole new stage. And so, you know, I think that we need to be alert and awake now more than ever before.
It's amazing stuff. And I think I want to remind my audience, the Lord is with us. Now, we don't need to be with him if we don't want, but he is with us if we choose to look to him in the midst of difficulty. So we're never supposed to fear. We're always supposed to look to God and be encouraged that he's with us. And he created us for this hour, for this moment, to live for him. Otherwise, it's very tempting to get caught up in the details and in the political part of it, more than in looking at God in the middle of it. And as you know, I don't believe we ought to sit on our hands or just pray, quote unquote. We have to be involved while we're praying, and we need to pray while we're doing things. But people's hearts need to be right. And there's so many people that have made an idol of politics, and they're just angry all the time. And you really can't do anything for God if you're walking around in anger.
That's right. That's right. We have to make sure that, you know, we have to stay lit, kindle a fire under us enough to not sit back and idly, you know, just sit by and watch our America that we've known and loved be fully taken from us. But I think God is calling Martin Luther's and Bonhoeffer's in this hour to rise up against political and spiritual corruption, which is ultimately the prophetic word I gave at IHOP in April that brought about the two weekends in July that you and I met. And so I think without a doubt, you're a key voice. And I think that God is using you to bring about a real unification between the Christian community, not just the charismatic Pentecostal world, but the Christian community with traditional conservatism, because this is no time for us to divide over the things that bring about our differences. We need to unite as traditional Americans who love God, love our country, and we have far more to unite on than we do to let divide us.
I genuinely didn't get what you just said until you just said it now, that I would be a voice in this. Talk about, we've just got a minute left, but about what happened in April that led to, you know, just so people get that background before we go.
So in November 2019, the Lord gave me a prophetic word regarding the future, that when Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth's husband, passed away, that it would be a prophetic timing indicator for the body of Christ. So the first day on April the 9th, when I am in Kansas City, I heard that morning Prince Philip passed, and sure enough, that was the same day that Bonhoeffer died, and then he was buried, Prince Philip, on April 17th, the new day, as they call it, in Great Britain was April 18th, which of course is Martin Luther. These are two men that, of course, you have wrote about, who stood at the Diet of Worms, probably the most important, one of the most important days in church history, when Luther stood up against the political and religious corruption. The fact that he, Prince Philip, died on April 9th and buried on 418 speaks to God is raising up in this hour.
We have to go, but Chris Reed, so grateful for you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
God and cancel culture. They're both kind of important. But are they related? Yes, they are related. And you know how I know that? Because Stephen Strang, my friend, has written a book with the title God and Cancel Culture. Stephen Strang, welcome.
Thank you, Eric. I always enjoy being with you.
I enjoy being with you. And you've written a – this is an important thing because I think there are plenty of people who don't – they very sloppily push – political stuff or cultural stuff away from theological stuff. They don't seem to understand that God wants to be in every single conversation we're having in the culture, wherever. So how are God, for those people who aren't yet sold on this, how are God and cancel culture related?
Well, you know, you touched on it. God is central to everything, whether or not atheists or agnostics or just nominal Christians say so or not. And cancel culture has been going on for a long time. One of the best examples is the Romans tried to cancel Christianity in the first century, and they failed. And there are people trying to cancel God today. In fact, I make the argument in the book, God and Cancel Culture, that the real end result of all this cancellation, which has been going on for years, but it's gotten worse lately, is to try to cancel Christianity and try to cancel the influence of God out of our culture. And the end result, I believe, is some kind of socialism, communism, and that at its base is atheistic, and they have to get God, they have to get Judeo-Christian values out of the culture and everything. And I cover the waterfront. I mean, there are many aspects to this, from COVID to Twitter and to MyPillow. I cover it all. But I think it comes back to the fact that people are trying to cancel God.
Now, I have to be honest with my audience and say that I'm in this book, God and Cancel Culture. You wanted to interview me for the book. I completely forgot about that, to be honest. I mean, that was some time ago. And but you talk about me in the book. I know you wrote an op-ed for the book in which you talk about me. And I'll put that out there for my audience. But this has certainly come for me, cancel culture. And I think there are two issues with how cancel culture is related to God. Number one is explicitly that cancel culture seems to want to push Christian influence out of the public sphere. So we're talking really about cultural Marxism. But the other way is that cancel culture is anti-grace. If it's anti-God and anti-biblical, if it's pro-Marxist, it's anti-grace. And so to cancel somebody is the opposite of saying that one sin you have, that's covered by grace, and we're going to look at the good you've done. This is exactly the opposite. I don't know if you know, go into that, but it strikes me that it's important for us to say that just the idea of canceling somebody is graceless.
I agree with you entirely. In fact, one thing about the left and the cancer culture crowd or wokeness, I mean, there's, you know, different ways to say it, is that there's no redemption. If you sin, according to what they say, there's no redemption. That's the opposite of Christianity. And one of the arguments that I make is right out of the Bible, the story about where the shepherd left the 99 and went after the one sheep. That's what Christianity is all about. It's actually the opposite of what communism or atheism is, where the 99 are important and sacrifice the one lost sheep. And, you know, these things intertwine. A lot of Christians know this, or at least they should know it. And as far as you being in the book, you're a big part of the book. I have a whole chapter called It's Not Cancel Culture, It's Communism. And I tell your story, you know, which you told me, I already knew it. That's why I reached out to you. And the story of your own parents and how that has just set you on fire in terms of speaking up, in spite of the fact that they have painted a big bullseye on your back and are aiming and shooting at you.
You know, it's funny, Stephen. I realize that when you go through trials, it's a good thing because it wakes you up to, what do I really believe? I mean, do I really believe Jesus destroyed death on the cross? Did he actually destroy death? Because if he did, I shouldn't be afraid of death. I should be emboldened to live genuinely freely because I fear nothing except God. And I kind of think that when you go through the turmoil that a lot of us have been going through as a result of this bizarre cancel culture, you just think, wait a minute, what kind of life was I living? Was I living in half measures? Am I willing to really believe what I say I believe? I mean, think how many people go to churches with crosses in that church. I mean, there are people all over this country, even mainline Protestants, Greek Orthodox, Catholics, whatever. So the question is, do you believe that Jesus defeated death on the cross? If you did, you will push back against cancel culture. You won't be afraid. But there are a lot of people living in fear that they will get canceled. A lot of Christians. I mean, did you talk to Christians who aren't clear on this issue, or did the folks you reached out to, do they get this?
Well, I mostly reached out to people who could help us know what's going on. But, you know, lukewarmness is, you know, how the book of Revelation talk about the church in Laodicea. And so it's been around a long time. And we know that a lot of churches have been going liberal. You know, this has been happening really for the last several centuries since the Reformation. And one of the things that's good about this, and as Christians, we believe the scripture. And one of the scriptures is all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And I believe that one of the good things that's happening out of all the terrible things, and there are a lot of terrible things, is that people are doing exactly what you're saying, Eric. They're waking up. This is separating the sheep from the goat, so to speak. There are so many passive Christians, and I interview some pastors who just stayed out of the political thing. Hey, I don't want to offend anybody in my congregation. I may be a conservative, and I believe in biblical values, but I don't want to speak up. Somebody will shoot at me. Some of these people, like Rob McCoy in California, or Cheon in Pasadena, or Greg Farrington up by Sacramento, and they're just a few of many who have gotten spines of steel standing up to Gavin Newsom and all of the, you know, there's lots of examples, but Gavin Newsom seems to be the poster boy for, you know, how bad it could get, where he was actually persecuting the church. We're losing our religious freedoms, even though we have the First Amendment.
Well, I have been amazed. I don't know when we air this interview. It'll be a few weeks from when we're talking right now. But I learned this weekend that there are Christian colleges requiring vaccine proof to attend. And I thought to myself, this is Christian, overtly Christian colleges. Biola was mentioned. I thought, what world have we entered when the basic ideas of freedom have been thrown out the window? There is so much fear. I mean, again, I didn't mean to talk about COVID, but it's almost funny to me. People act as though it's the bubonic plague, it's polio, it's something. I know so many people who've had it and recovered quickly, and yet we have Christian colleges kind of participating in this because their idea of freedom doesn't seem to It just doesn't seem to reach into these things. And I think that's part of the cancel culture, is that people don't really have they don't have the American values deep in them where they understand we can't do this, we can't do that. But it has entered the churches. I could give other examples.
Well, people are wishy-washy. They don't really know what they believe. They go along to get along. I'm absolutely against vaccines. I mean, I read recently, and you don't know what to believe, and I haven't had a chance to research it, that 12,000 people have died from the vaccine. I had a very, very mild case of COVID that I got on an airplane some when I got absolutely exhausted and ran down my immune system, but I was better in 2 days. So now I have the immunity. You know, for me, I say people can make a decision. They should have control over their own body. They ought to be able to decide. I'm concerned that the government is just imposing everything and they're using health to try to push regulations on us that before they would not have gotten away with. This is not the bubonic plague. When it first happened, we didn't know, but within a week or two, we could tell it was bad, but it didn't even come close to being that bad. In fact, as it goes through the population, you know, the death rate is really very, very small. And the people who die probably would have died. A lot of them are very old. They would have died within a matter of months of something else anyway. But the thing is that even to say that is being canceled. Some of the doctors that are saying, listen, we can give you hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, which I take myself as a prophylactic. If you say that, you're terrible. You can't say that on Facebook. We're going to cancel you. We're going to say that you're a quack when it's not a quack. Hydroxychloroquine is, I'm told, is the safest Tylenol and not much more expensive. Yet they treat it like, I mean, if there was even a possibility it would help, if it was just 50-50,
right,
wouldn't you try it? There's nothing, it's not going to kill you like the vaccine is. But yet there's a groupthink. We call it political correctness. It's been around for a long time. It's just gotten much, much worse. And it's time for Christians and other conservatives to stand up and say, that's enough.
We'll be right back talking to the author of God and Cancel Culture, Stephen Strang.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Folks, I'm talking to the author of God and Cancel Culture, Stephen Strang. Stephen, we were talking earlier about vaccines and all these things, and it's a weird moment in America where, you know, I just always say, look, I want to be rational, right? So there's some people who think the vaccine is a good idea. I think it's a horrible idea. But we could disagree. But the point is, we have people like Lemmings saying, we can't disagree. Shut up. Don't talk about that stuff. Those people are crazy. Just get the vaccine. Get the vaccine. And I think to myself, okay, wait a second. If I get the vaccine, is there any downside potentially 3 years from now, 5 years from now? We don't really know. Probably not. And I say, okay, so probably not, but you're not really sure. So I'm not going to get it. Okay? And people are like, no. You got to get it. You can't eat at restaurants. You can't go to college. You can't go to Biola. And you think, wow, what happened to Americans thinking for themselves making their own decisions. Some people are trying to enforce a certain kind of thinking, and even if they're right, they have no right to enforce thinking. That's basically what cancel culture is, isn't it? It's to use the culture and peer pressure to bully a group. You want to go to a restaurant? You want to walk around without a mask? You better do this. It's fundamentally un-American. I mean, forget un-Christian. It's fundamentally un-American.
I agree with you 100%, and that's the point I try to make in the book. Now, I live down in Florida where things are relatively normal, and I don't personally face that kind of thing. And in the book, I research everything. There's footnotes. I'm very careful. What I'm going to tell you now is anecdotal. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went to a wedding. There were about 60 people. They only invited people who had the vaccine. They made a couple of exceptions for my wife and I who had the antibodies. Since then, 20 people of the 60 have come down with COVID.
Say that again.
20 people out of 60. Now, at our table, there was a couple. They were friends of ours. We talked about the fact they'd had the vaccine. They got COVID. My wife and I, have not been vaccinated but had the antibodies,
aren't
didn't.
Vaccines supposed to keep you from getting the disease? That's what a vaccine does.
That's right. But, you know, someone said, and again, you don't know who to believe, but someone said it should not be called a vaccine. It should be called a shot.
It's not a vaccine.
Because it's not a real vaccine.
No. It is not a vaccine. So they're calling it a vaccine, but it's not a vaccine. It is a shot. It's experimental RNA therapy. Here's the point. The people who got the vaccine then get the disease, but that's not the worst part. The worst part is now they can spread the disease. So they're walking around saying, I'm vaccinated. They can spread the disease. So you got an experimental shot, and not only do you get the disease, but you can spread the disease to people. We're living in crazy times.
But, you spread the flu, the common flu.
Right.
When I had COVID, it was a very mild case, as I said. I have been much sicker with the common flu and the common cold in years past. For me, it wasn't that bad. I realized some people die. But I had a friend recently my age who died of the flu. This was a couple of years before COVID. I didn't even know people could die of the flu. But apparently there's thousands a year. Every year, depending on how bad the flu season is. Interestingly, this year, nobody's dying of the flu. They label everything COVID. I think they're lying to us. I really do. But my point in the book is not to make that argument so much as to just talk about how the end result is communism. I'd like to tell your listeners about your story. I'm not sure how much you've talked about it, but you know how your mother came from East Germany, your father came from Greece, which came very, very close to being communistic. Your mother took you over there when you were a little kid. You saw with your own eyes what it was. You came home loving liberty like most Americans don't, because we take it for granted. We're like fish in the water. We don't even know what water is because it's all we know. I think somebody wrote a book imagery.
I'm guilty. I wrote a book called Fish Out of Water. All the stuff you're talking about is, of course, in my book, Fish Out of Water. But you're right. It's what woke me up to the horror of communism. My mom and dad lived this. And so growing up with them, I just heard their stories over and over and over again. And so you realize, wow, that is bad. That is why you've written this book, God and Cancel Culture, because cancel culture leads us slowly and sometimes not so slowly toward big state, socialist, communist, Marxist thinking. That's exactly what it is. Anybody who lived through the Chinese Cultural Revolution, much worse than anything my parents saw, that was the cancel culture on proverbial steroids. It was a nightmare. If you defied the Marxist thinking during the Cultural Revolution, they humiliated you. They did things to those people. Anybody who's lived through this stuff knows we don't even want to go near that. Cancel culture is going near that.
Well, it's still really bad in communist China, North Korea. There's lots of examples. If you don't agree with the government, they cancel you, including putting you in prison and in some instances killing you, which is the ultimate cancellation. And, you know, this totalitarian dictators have always done this. Why can't we wake up and see that The government, and it's not just the government, but it's the media, it's academia, and now it's businesses with big tech and others. You know, why would Kohl's care about selling a pillow? It's because they're trying to punish Mike Lindell
We got to go to break. We're going to talk about Mike Lindell when we come back. God and cancel culture. Stand strong before it's too late. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm talking to Stephen Strang, my friend, who's written a book called God and Cancel Culture. The subtitle is Stand Strong Before It's Too Late. The foreword is written by Mike Lindell, who has become the most canceled man alive. He's still standing. He's a hero. And I want to ask you, you talked about Kohl's canceling him, Bed Bath & Beyond canceling him. They said, we don't like your politics. We don't like you speaking up. We don't care if you're right or wrong. We don't like you. We disagree. We're shutting you down. That's where we are in America, that big tech and big stores, corporations are going along with this. It really does feel like what happened in Germany in the early 30s. They said, if you don't play along, you're out. That's what cancel culture is. The subtitle of your book, God and Cancel Culture, is Stand Strong Before It's Too Late. Talk about that. Stand strong before it's too late.
Well, Christians as a group are rather passive. Generally, they're nice people. They go along to get along. You know, they hope it won't affect them. Some of us, like me, live in kind of a bubble. Most of the people in my life are Christians. I recognize that. A lot of this nonsense doesn't affect me, but we cannot ignore it any longer. They're going to come and get all of us sooner or later. And you're right, Mike Lindell is a hero. I don't know that he's been canceled as much as Donald Trump has, but they're right up there together. And he's like Donald Trump in that he doesn't seem to care. You know, he just seems to thrive on it. And, you know, there's a very important and serious thing when it comes to economics. You know, we talked about communism, at the end of the day, it's economics and it's atheism. And they're starting to, when people are canceled, they lose their job or they lose whatever, they're losing the right to make an income. With Mike Lindell, you know, why doesn't one of the retailers say, hey, you can't buy it at these other retailers, come over here and I'll take all the extra business to sell you a pillow. But it's not, it's like groupthink, like we're bad people if we don't go along with the woke crowd. Is very concerning. And Mike Lindell is going to, you know, these people wouldn't take his pillow to start with when he was just starting until it became famous. He'll survive. He just will. People can go direct to mypillow.com and buy a pillow. I have a lot of his products and I'd buy more if I could figure out who I could give them to as gifts. I want to support him as much as I can. But there's other ways that they cancel us economically. I go into this in the book, God and Cancel Culture. It has to do with credit card processing. This is something that those of us who aren't in the banking or credit card industry don't know anything about. But when, you know, you submit your credit card for payment, they accept it or reject it. And then it goes into this way that the banks transfer money and they finally put it on your bill and you pay it. But there are some of these places that have canceled conservative and Christian organizations because they don't like the fact that they go against the woke feeling that LGBT is okay. They stand for biblical values. They're not necessarily hateful. They're not pointing their guns at anyone. They are just saying what they believe, and their credit cards won't be processed. It's becoming a real problem. And if people can control you like this, they're controlling your ability to buy and sell. And for those of us who study any kind of Bible prophecy at all, it sounds a lot like the beginning of the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. You know, this is stuff I never thought I would see in my lifetime, but you got to believe that it's building up towards something, one world government. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, And maybe it'll happen generations from now, but it sure looks like it's building up to something, and cancer culture is part of it.
I just hate the fact that I agree with that. I hate it. It's sickening to me. But unfortunately, if you're paying attention, that's exactly what it looks like. If you really are paying attention, there are a lot of people who either they're not paying attention or they can't bear the thought, so they have to you know, brush it off as conspiracy theory or exaggeration. I wish it were, but I have to be honest and say that one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about this book is because I feel like this is front and center in our lives. Here's the issue. Your book says, God and cancel culture, stand strong before it's too late. If we don't stand strong now, if we don't push back now, if we don't fight now, we will go down this path that you and I have been talking about. And so the question is, will we stand up? Will we fight? There are many people listening right now. They're not fighting. They're not doing anything.
Well, hopefully my book will cause them to wake up, and people are speaking up. I think there is hope. I try to end the book with hope. We haven't lost yet, but it's like leaning back in a chair. You can lean back, and you can ride it, you know, put it back on all four legs if you want to. But at some point, you lean back too far, you get to a tipping point where it's impossible to put it down. You just fall backwards. That's where the term tipping point came from. And we're getting pretty close to that tipping point, I'm afraid. But we can speak up. We can be strong. And even programs like this, and everything you do, you said Mike Lindell was a hero. I think you're a hero, too, for all that you've done. And you have really been attacked lately. And so bravo for standing strong yourself.
Well, thank you. We've just got about a minute left. But I just want to say that, you know, I have my parents to thank, because my parents, they really made me see. They grew up in some cases living hell, no food. They saw the evil. And so they made me understand this is real, because I haven't seen it in my lifetime. That's because I'm ridiculously blessed living in America. But around the world, most people know there is evil. There's a potential for terrible, terrible things. The question is, will the people with the power, with the freedom in this country, will they wake up and fight now? And again, that's the title of your book, God and Cancel Culture, Stand Strong Before It's Too Late. We've got 40 seconds. Do you think people will push back?
I believe they're starting to, and you're right. This is a wonderful country. Why do you think people are pouring over our southern borders if this is such a terrible racist country or whatever else the left says we are? It's a wonderful place. We're still the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well, that's a beautiful way to end it. Folks, the book is God and Cancel Culture, forward by Mike Lindell, but the book is by Stephen Strang. Stephen, it's just a joy to know you're in the fight with us, and I hope your book and this interview wakes people up. They need to wake up today. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Are you ready to have some fun?
Oh, come on.
Are you ready, Albin?
Really?
Yes, fun.
Yes.
On this program, listen, before we have fun, I always remind people we need you to patronize our sponsors.
Yes.
Or sponsor our patrons. I don't know which it is, but the point is, if you go to MyPillow.com and MyStore.com, oh, we're going to get Bonhoeffer posters in. I am exploding with excitement over Bonhoeffer. Wait till you see them, folks. They're beautiful, yep. Very low prices. But mystore.com, mypillow.com, use the code Eric. Nutramedics.com, use the code Eric. I just want to remind you. But now we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah.
We have a fun fact here.
Yeah.
This is called a capital city miraculous fun fact.
Yeah.
Why don't you read this?
I'm just going to read this. Cause now, this was not fun when it was actually happening. But, you know, things today.
No,
you know,
it's a fun fact.
Yeah. Not then, but it is kind of like now. Because today, everybody's praying for the nation. They should be Christians, right? Praying for the nation to be spared from whatever tragedy is ahead. And I feel like we're in it right now.
We're in the
now.
Middle of a tragedy. Right. It's called Joe Biden.
And if you know that God's a prayer answering and a miracle working God, yeah. you're going to keep praying, right? Well, way back in the War of 1812, put on your thinking caps, folks, when the British soldiers marched on our nation's capital and torched many of the city's buildings, including the White House.
Now, by the way, we got to say, can you imagine, like, we don't often talk about the War of 1812.
Right.
Can you imagine British troops marching on Washington, D.C.? If you've been to Washington, D.C., it didn't look that way back then. It was like a swamp.
Yeah.
And they torched buildings and they set the White House on fire.
The nation wasn't even 50 years old yet.
Antifa's trying to do it today, but the British were doing it in 1812.
Now, this was August 24th, so this was just like last week, anniversary, 1814. Their prayers were answered. Now, a lot of people are praying that that something would happen to stop this madness, right? With the city on fire, a sudden and unexplained tornado blew in from nowhere, and within a couple of hours, okay, all the fires were doused by this tornado. Yep, and the citizens and the press in young America dubbed the unrelenting torrential rains as the miracle that saved Washington.
Now, I want people to look this up. Yeah. I can't right now because my computer's not here, but I want to ask you, first of all, did you know this? Because I have never heard this. I thought I've always heard I've heard all this kind of stuff. I've never heard this.
Yeah.
The idea that during the War of 1812, which lasted a couple of years, in 1814, in the hot summer, you have the British troops torching the then brand new Washington, D.C., the White House. People were praying, and a tornado comes out of nowhere, and torrential rains douse all the fires. I mean, that's like, really?
Yeah.
But it happened. But look it up, and if you find anything more interesting about it, email us at metaxastalk.com.
Yeah.
We like to read your letters. I wanted to say that. We love it when you write to us. And, I mean, we read everything that comes in. We can still do that. It's not easy, but we do. We read whatever if you want me to read what you write, send it to us. Go to metaxastalk.com. And oftentimes we read your letters on the air. But if you find out more about this, I'm just curious because this is an amazing miracle.
And send in other miraculous facts, especially when they relate to America, because we want to encourage people to keep praying because things look a little gloomy these days.
Oh, yeah, just a little.
Just a little.
And listen, in case you're wondering if things are really bad, they are.
Oh.
But I want to say, and normally I'm not quite this blunt, but when things are as bad as they are, as horrifying as they are, when America's profile in the world has been just marred beyond recognition. It's just horrifying. We know that this wicked administration, they are doing evil things. And I just want to encourage people to pray, number one, and to know that God hears your prayers. What we just heard, God hears our prayers. So it's not just about hurricanes and stuff. Please pray, folks. Pray for the nation and be encouraged. God is on his throne.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.